Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the hosts of UCB Sports and Leisure.
Welcome to UCB Sports and Leisure, broadcasting live from the UCB East in New York City, Gay Pride Weekend. How you guys doing? This show was put up by popular demand. There's a lot of Sports and Leisure fans. Anybody in the audience a fan of Sports and Leisure, UCB? Someone in the lighting booth is a fan of UCB Sports and Leisure. When you listen to this at home, because this will be a podcast, we're going to amp up the applause and laughter. Because a lot of people said they listen to UCB Sports and Leisure. Well, let me tell you what we cover. Obviously, the world of sports, but the world of leisure encompasses everything. We've had Pope Francis on our show. We've had Donald Trump. We've had, of course, Tiger Woods. We've had the head of the NFL, the head of the MLB, and we like to tackle sports in a serious way and do journalistic investigative reporting by the top stories in the world of sports and leisure. So that being said, we knew we were going to be in New York, and we contacted some of the big headline makers in the world of sports and leisure today, and I'm going to start right away. Now, have you guys seen a Marvel movie in the last 8 years? Yeah. All right, I knew you'd say yes to that. There was a news item recently where Marvel has, for $50 million, has sold the rights to one of their 2019 franchises to Under Armour. So Under Armour is going to write the movie. Obviously, there'll be lots of product placement. Feels weird, right? Feels too commercial, right? Well, we have the author of that next franchise installment. Please give it up for Kip Under Armour. First question, have you ever listened to UCB Sports and Leisure?
Is that what I'm on?
Yeah, that's what you're on right
okay,
now.
Okay, no, I haven't.
You have not. Okay.
Okay.
It's a big, popular show. A lot of people in this room listen to it.
Because I was on the side, it didn't sound like...
It didn't sound like...
Can we do it again? Who here has listened to Sports and Leisure? Yeah, that was... That was like less than nothing. Like, people who were fidgeting quieted down and stopped opening snacks just because they didn't want you to think that maybe they had listened to it.
I think it's an acoustics issue.
It's an acoustics issue?
I think the people in the back row where our fans usually sit, they're cool. You can't really hear them clap and say, love your show. Yeah,
there's an amazing amount of acoustic baffling in this.
Yes. We're going to sweeten this up. So... thanks for coming to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Are you a resident New Yorker? Or did you fly in for this?
I flew in from Baltimore.
Oh,
I had to take a one stop. I transferred in Charlotte, and then
you flew south.
Yeah, just a one stop. It's so much cheaper.
Oh, okay. So now you're obviously part of the Under Armour family, Kip Under Armour. I'm assuming that's your family name.
Yeah. I'm a heir to the fortune.
Fantastic. So. How did this deal come about? Because I'll tell you what my take on this is like. I hate when product placement ruins franchises I care about.
You know what? We're in the exact same boat. I'm glad you have that concern because we had that concern in Under Armour. I mean, we know high power athletic apparel. That's what we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when Marvel came to us and said they wanted to work with us, we were really excited because, you know, like nerd shit, like we're into that too.
And, nerd shit?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, like, it's a good market for us, I think. Just, like, you know, nerds who, like, made up stories. and then, you know, like, to get our fitness equipment to people's eyes that haven't seen it before, we think it's a home run.
All right. Just a knee-jerk reaction. Like, how would you describe nerd culture? Because I feel like you're not that immersed in it. Like, to you, what's your take on nerd culture? What's the epitome of nerd culture when you
use stasis?
Stasis?
Inactivity.
Inactivity?
Yeah.
Okay. So those people, that demographic, that's what you see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But we totally want to respect it. You know, so like whatever this... it's actually a 12-picture deal. We're excited.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the first movie is all of the heroes are going to be unidentifiable. They're all going to be under the armor. You know, so you don't know who's in that hoodie. We don't know. We never find out. Cool.
So you're going to take, for example, someone like Iron Man. He'll have all his superpowers, but he'll be completely
cloaked. Yeah, Iron Man, Copper Man, whichever. Which we can do.
Do you know there's one called Iron Man? There's a superhero called Iron Man.
I'll go with you on that.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
You should do some research. So he'll be completely covered, or like Superman, if it was Superman, just completely covered, but they'll still have their powers.
Yeah, whatever. You know, I'll work with nerds and do whatever they... But the idea is... Mostly, it's going to be cross-training montages.
So they're all...
Intervals, high-intensity interval training. We want to like, do the hero before the hero, you know? Like.
So this is a lot of stuff with their alter ego. Like, say, Tony Stark, who plays Iron Man. You'll spend a lot of time doing cross-training videos with him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, like, Rocky? Was that a boxing movie, I think? I don't
Rocky
know.
Rocky was a boxing movie.
But, like... The best part of that movie was?
Him running on the steps in Philadelphia and holding his hands up. And punching meat.
Punching meat, exactly.
Well, that's the right
training
answer?
Training montages.
Okay. So that's your theory on this Marvel story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when Tony Stark is at home, will he also be covered, like, ninja style? You won't know who he is?
Yeah, yeah. He'll be head to toe Under Armour. Yeah, you won't know who he is apart from the fact that he's wearing Under Armour. But in a way that we don't think interferes with the core of the story.
But having a film with unidentifiable leads makes it confusing to a viewer. You understand that. Like, there has to be some moment where you understand who you're watching or what. I guess their powers would define them. Let me backtrack.
But I think branding, I mean, obviously branding gets a bad rap.
Well, do you ever see the movie?
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
If someone proposed to you, which do you prefer? Will you spend your life with me? Or will you spend your life with me, TBS Very Funny?
The first one. I don't like the product placement in a personal
note. Why does that hurt it at all?
Because it doesn't speak to me. It's not personal. That's a corporation's tagline.
What if saying that TBS Very Funny got you a buffet at the proposal?
If there was perks
like
involved,
clams?
Yeah, I do like clams.
There you go.
I do like free stuff. I mean, obviously, I like free shit. Like, how did this idea come about? Like, you're saying Marvel approached you, because when I think of branded films, there was a film called Mac and Me where McDonald's made. Anybody remember that? It was a branded movie after E.T., and it was kind of an alien that liked McDonald's. Am I simplifying it? No? Anyways, McDonald's tried to do it, and it was unabashed. It was too commercial. Like, is that something you're concerned about?
I don't know. Like, I am comfortable living in a world where a doctor would say, there was a car accident, your family is not going to make it, I'm loving it. If that I'm loving it got them an increased standard of medical care because of the sponsorship money, and we're adding a lot of value with special effects, marketing. The best part of movies is marketing.
That's where most of the money gets spent, I agree. And are you a writer by trade? Like, how, when you grew up in your dad's company, like, explain your interest in writing this movie.
No, I had an incident in high school, and then I spent 6 years in Germany. So mostly I'm just...
Okay, stop right there. What happened? Were you at boarding school?
It's just a thing. I had to get out of the country. I don't like it. Statute of limitations thing.
Okay.
But that doesn't matter because I'm a student of the world.
All right, so you studied overseas. You came back. You're inside the company. Were you already doing marketing?
I drowned two people.
Oh, dear God. Okay.
Not like a DUI accident. It was deliberate. I walked into a public pool, picked out my two, held them underwater, elbowed a lifeguard in the face to buy myself the time to fulfill this dream. It's dream fulfillment.
And then you were never sentenced to any time for this. Obviously, your father has money. He got you out of the country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like Mr. Ripley, sort of. All right, well, what is it about this that you're excited about? Like, obviously, you're going to be turning Under Armour into, you know, getting it into people's homes, hopefully. But what about the story? Like, have you cracked any ideas for the actual story?
We're thinking, you know, maybe eventually we'll get to a prequel, like before the heroes had Under Armour, and they're just, you know, laying around going, you know, just like they
babies.
Can't open. They're babies. They're basically adult babies.
Okay.
And then when they put on the Under Armour, they're like, yeah, I can fly and hot chicks like me, you know, like
so
wish fulfillment.
Tribute,
classic wish fulfillment.
You're going to attribute their powers to Under Armour, to wearing Under Armour.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that steps on anything in the stories so far. I got a lot of homework to do. I got a stack of movies I got to watch, but I don't think that has any.
Well, a lot of them
conflict.
Get for their powers, like Superman got his powers from another planet, so you can't rewrite some of their histories, I would think.
So he came to this planet and bought some Under Armour and got powers. I don't see the conflict, really.
Well, in that case, there's been several films about his backstory, and everyone on Krypton was like a Superman, and so when he's on Earth, he's exceptionally strong and fast, etc. Mm-hmm. So that would ruin it. What you're proposing would ruin that history.
I don't get your logic at all, because when he comes to Earth, that's a planet with Under Armour, and he has access to the thing that makes him awesome. Look, I didn't come on your podcast that no one has listened to our, like, I respect your opinion, and that's what I, like, we went to Comic-Con. And
were the nerds excited about it?
The reception was not as strong as I hoped.
Okay, so what were some of the interactions when you had stills or you were making this announcement?
I drowned two people.
Again?
Yeah. I got so mad with the aggressive questioning. Like, I took two people to a public restroom.
And drowned them.
Sequentially. Like, one guy waited. He was weird.
He wanted to drown.
Yeah, I don't know what his logic was, but I was just like, you wait there while I drown this guy, and he did.
Well, that is the truth. Like, when you take a franchise, people feel ownership of it. They feel like it's theirs. So I would imagine that population of nerds was really angry that you're taking something that they feel like they know these people, that they're their friends, and you're just changing it for commercial interest.
Yeah, but they don't understand that we bought it. Like, that's the weird part. Like, legally, Under Armour owns it.
Right. That's true. But that's business. But you still have to, like Disney bought Star Wars, and they didn't start putting Mickey Mouse in the Star Wars universe, for example. That would be an example of what you shouldn't do. You should respect the universe you're inheriting.
I don't know. I think we can agree to disagree on that one, because I don't know. Like, that's like a subtle point that, like, I can't really wrap my head around. Like what's the advantage of buying Star Wars without putting Mickey Mouse?
Scott, come up here. Scott Armstrong, everybody. No one listens to our show. No one in this room listens to our show.
I already knew that. I already knew that.
So you were listening to this interview. This is Kip Under Armour. You brought this article.
I'm a huge fan. You're fixing the movies, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you like this?
Yeah.
You like that this is happening?
Of course. It's like, I don't know, I feel like I know what to wear. I don't have to think so much, you know? I just do whatever Superman and everybody
does. Oh, so it'll decide for you. All your life choices will be decided by the Marvel superheroes.
It just makes it easier to get dressed in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. With that thought, would you want more product placement in there? Like, would you want people getting superpowers from, like, a McDonald's milkshake in the same movie, or from a Starbucks coffee getting better vision? Would you believe in something like that, like partnering up to have tons of brands in it?
Yeah, if it makes sense, like, financially and story-wise, like, we think those could all be great, great things.
I feel like it makes it more American, you know
what
I mean? It's, like, more, like, you believe in capitalism. If you believe in capitalism, you believe that whoever owns it should make money off it.
And
then it makes you happy because you're more American.
And you get to know the characters. It's like, who is Iron Man? Does he like Chipotle? Like, I don't know. Like, I want to know for sure.
Does he?
Yeah, he loves Chipotle.
See, now I know where to eat.
I guess I was trying to think of an example of story-wise where having a character like Fruit of the Loom underwear or something, or Starbucks. Give me an example of that. Like,
well, that's interesting, because the grapes from Fruit of the Loom is, we're thinking about him for a villain.
Oh, because that's your competition. Good.
See, that's another example of making the movies better. You take the products to make the movie better.
So they'll battle the Fruit of the Loom grapes?
Yeah.
Which don't really have any superpowers that I know of.
No, they have absolutely no superpowers.
So that's an easy fight, right?
And we're keeping that reality. That is just an actor in a grape suit that we stalk.
And his... Yeah.
And,
his
and eventually kill or drown.
Yeah, kill, drown, murder.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of the characters you propose are drowning people in the movies, too. Like, two at a time.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, like... For some reason, that has resonance with me.
Yeah. It's like a theme you keep bringing up on over is the drowning two people at a time and then one guy waiting to get drowned.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed that, but I guess it's, that life art thing.
I'm wearing Under Armour right now, and I feel like that movie that you made, it's brilliant.
That's awesome. We want people to feel that confident. We want you to buy Under Armour.
And I was down
there. Wear Under Armour. Think you can fly and jump off a building. That's what we want.
But people could die from that. You know that. Like if you let people...
I'm talking about the feeling. Look, I'm not legal. I don't deal with the lawsuit angle of things. I'm just marketing. Just we want you to feel like you can get shot in the face and sit down and eat dinner.
If you're wearing Under Armour.
If you're wearing Under Armour. Yeah, that's the feeling we want you to take away from it.
I do feel like the way you were treated at Comic-Con was really not that fair.
It was aggressive.
Because people were pretty aggressive. The nerds did not like what he was proposing.
But I probably agree with the nerds. Like, he's taking a property that you feel like is your family, and he's altering the history. Sounds like.
Making it more American.
Yeah.
Well,
How much better this podcast became once we got a voice of reason on here?
It's true.
Like, I felt like I was being attacked.
Scott's more corporate than I am.
I heard the beginning of it, and I was like, why are you going out?
All right, what if it was a foreign brand, like Toshiba or Nikon? You're talking about making it more American. What if it's a foreign brand? Would you consider putting a foreign brand in your Marvel movie?
That's a good question.
It's a good question.
Thank you. Yeah. I finally had a good question.
It depends on if it's owned by American corporations. At all. Because Hyundai builds cars here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So it has to have some plant here?
Or I don't know if this works totally on, the storytelling side, but maybe just, two split the frame and just do two movies at the same time. one in English and one in Korean and just let them run. Just to make sure you get both messages out there. You know, and they're not edited to work with each other. It's just full bore.
Just get more
movies.
Branding. Yeah, just get more branding
or
all
it's
the time.
Or Batman versus Superman. It's like America's Under Armour versus Germany's Mini Cooper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that German? No, English.
And we're excited this is going to be the first major theatrical release with lower thirds throughout the whole.
Lower thirds?
Yeah, just advertisements, bugs, and
the
scrolls.
The whole movie.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I'm not excited about this movie. Any more questions? Because we should move on.
No, I think we can nail it.
Thank you very much, Kip Under Armour, everybody. Give it up for Kip Under Armour. I can't believe you're excited about that movie.
I just love big American movies.
Where were you?
I was just took a little jaunt, zigzag through the gay pride parade.
Getting through the traffic?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you get any good glimpses of the parade? It's pretty rowdy.
I was just in the crowd.
Yeah.
It was...
Oh, did you hoof it?
I didn't mean to, but I ended
you
up
had
running.
To get across.
I zigzagged a couple blocks.
Yeah.
I made it. Yay! Hi, everybody.
No one listens to our show, Scott. They don't know who
no
you are.
No one raised their hand?
No.
Okay.
Everything else good? Are you having a good... This is coinciding with the Del Close Marathon for our podcast listeners.
I haven't actually listened to the show. I just do it and leave.
We could really use your numbers. We really could use your numbers. All right, well, Scott, you brought this to my attention. Let's set the groundwork here. Akeem Tlaib, cornerback for the Denver Broncos, recently shot himself in the leg with his own gun, correct?
In the thigh. Yeah.
Also, there's a story of Plexico Burress at a club.
Super Bowl. He's got a Super Bowl ring, but before that, he shot himself.
In the leg. And there's been gunplay even in the Washington Bullets. I think Gilbert Arenas had some gun issues with his other athletes in the... In the locker room.
Yeah, what these guys do is a lot of times they like to go out to the club. They like to be cool. They like to bring a gun. They like to put it in their sweats.
Yeah.
Tuck it in their sweats.
Yeah.
And it kind of falls and rattles around in there and then shoots them in the thigh.
Yeah. Well, obviously guns are an issue with our country, but they're very prevalent in professional sports in our country. And one gentleman has an idea to increase gun safety in his mind. He's come up with something called the Bullet Thighmaster 2000.
Oh.
And he played professional soccer for 4 years with the Chicago Fire.
Great team.
And his name is Claudius Hightower. Let's get to know him. Come on up, Claudius.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great.
Have you ever listened to UCB Sports and Leisure? You ever heard of it?
I've seen the titles of the podcast.
Oh, you've seen the titles on the internet?
iTunes, but I've never pushed play to actually listen to one.
That's not
money?
Bad.
We get money for that.
That's no, I don't
That's
think we do.
That's considered a view. That's
no, they have to click and listen. Next time, click and listen.
Oh, absolutely.
Or just leave it on and go do your life.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, like folding laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we pulled this off the newswire. The mm-hmm. Bullet Thighmaster 2000. Patent, talk about it.
Patent pending.
Patent pending. Okay.
Yeah. I have a phone call out to Susan Summers, and hopefully she responds.
Okay.
So we can use the Thighmaster name. But basically, as an athlete, you know, gun culture is very prevalent in sports.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, that's a part of it. You get drafted, you get your hat with your team logo, you get your gun, you know.
Wait a minute. So now you were
I didn't know that.
You were drafted into professional soccer. Yeah. You had your draft day moment in a smaller scale than an NFL athlete. Mm-hmm. And on that day, the franchise gave you a gun as well?
Yes, the franchise, they have some NRA members there for the draft, and they just make sure that you're protected at all times and that you can, you know, have a gun that goes with your swag wherever you are.
That's so, right. I would think the NRA guys hate soccer. I don't know why.
I don't know.
I would think
apparently,
they
don't.
Be more like into like I've never cage been, fighting and
I've never been
football.
Treated poorly by them or anything like that.
Okay.
They're very, you know, vocal. Their support at games and whatnot.
So that fits your style or your swagger, like your gun, your first rookie gun. I guess you'd probably call
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
What do you remember? What you decided on?
Yeah, I chose the a MIG 9, which is a really nice gun. You know, it has a extended clip.
Wow.
I mean, look, we need to be protected on these streets. You know, everyone's coming after athletes for their money, you know, for their jewelry, for their...
People rob athletes all the time like that?
Constantly.
They just take your jewelry?
Yeah, constantly.
Okay.
But aren't you like...
Especially
soccer. My impression of professional athletes, I don't know much about soccer, is that they're flying first class, they have security details on their buses, their hotels are guarded. Like, I'm not sure... I feel like there's a... security apparatus surrounding you. I don't know that you guys need to be responsible for your own protection.
Look, the buck stops with you. The literal buck. You know, I mean, you could trust your life to some other people who are trained technically to protect you at any circumstance. But for me, I have to trust myself because I'm the only one who's going to look out for me when the going gets tough.
Is it hard, like, to hold your gun when you're, like, ordering a drink at the club and stuff? Like, do you have, like... Like, if you have two drinks, like, you're bringing over a couple drinks for, like, a girl, and you keep your gun, you tuck it in the back?
Yeah, I think it depends on what type of sweatpants you wear.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you have some nice, you know, big pockets in the sweatpants, then your gun can, you know, fit easily there.
See, so is that why guys wear big pocket pants?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Every athlete gets a big old pair of sweatpants with big pockets, just in case they want
to. That's basically a holster. Around. That pocket basically. Is a holster.
Yeah.
Wow,
it just
I didn't
rattles
know
around
that.
In it. See, that's why it keeps going off.
Well, you need to be able to access it at any time. I personally feel like holsters kind of handicap you.
It's better to have it in the big sweatpants pocket.
A sweatpant, you just
next to your cell phone and change.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, and then like, so if you're wearing this product that you have the patent on, mm-hmm. so let's say you got a drink.
Patent pending. He has
patent pending. Pending.
You do not have Suzanne Summers' blessing yet. You don't have
not
her blessing.
Yet, but
should you be announcing that to like, can you take someone's patent if it's pending? Like, can someone else hear this idea? And
no, it's probably far along.
Call it a 2001.
Yeah. I've been through a whole large process.
Well, let's talk about the design. Tell me how you got the idea and what it's going to do and how much it would cost. This is like Shark. Imagine a Shark Tank.
Yeah. Basically, after the third. Player shot himself in a Chicago Fire on a weekend out in Chicago.
That's another thigh gone.
Mm-hmm. I thought that there needed to be something done with it, you know, and I was always a designer myself. I used to design clothes and certain things as a kid, so I thought about, hey, what about having some Kevlar protection around your thigh? Because that seems to be the number one place where athletes get shot at is in their thigh.
So it's a bulletproof thigh guard?
Yes.
In case you shoot yourself in the thigh and you're with your sweatpants.
In case you shoot yourself in the thigh. And it's covered with a little bit of foam so it can actually capture the bullet so the bullet's not bouncing off the Kevlar and hurting someone else.
Would you do a Marvel movie just all about the product?
I'm more of a DC person.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. That's good to know.
DC person.
So this is... Would this be worn on both thighs or just your gun thigh? Like, how do guys roll? Would they wear it on both thighs?
Well, you know, it depends on what your dominant hand is with mm-hmm. your gun. You know, mm-hmm. you wouldn't want to have a gun in your left thigh if you were right-handed, unless right. you were trained to shoot with your left hand.
Okay.
So you could pick, you know, depending on where you're most comfortable at. But you can buy two if you want to, you know, if you can switch hands like that and, you know, shoot accurately with left or right. You can buy two thighs.
Yeah, I feel like bullets go everywhere, you know?
Oh, yeah, they ricochet, yeah.
They bounce
more people
around.
Die from ricochets than actual bullets.
That's true.
Really? The ricochet is deadly.
Yeah, the ricochet is really the deadly thing. So now, would this be something that they'd wear on the field? Obviously, like NFL guys wear thigh pads.
You know, we all carry our guns when we play sports as well. I don't know if
like, I didn't know
in
that.
A soccer us
absolutely
in a soccer. Where the hell would you keep a gun in a soccer outfit?
I have a little ribbon around my thigh,
mm-hmm.
and the gun's attached to it.
So what? Give me a scenario that you would ever like. Have you ever pulled your gun out in a real game?
I've definitely been tempted. Clint Dempsey is an asshole.
Okay. He plays dirty, talks shit.
He's really dirty, loves to question all your motives on the field. Likes to talk a lot of stuff about your mother and whatnot. And so
that type of stuff
can really heat up the situation on the field. And sometimes you got to pull a gun just to check him. And I would never shoot him, of course. You know,
just to get him to stop talking shit.
Stop talking shit.
I heard that in football, like when they have those, like when there's a fumble mm-hmm. and there's a big pile of people and everyone's digging in and the refs can't pull everybody back, that there's a lot of guns pulled in the pile.
Whoever has the biggest gun at the bottom gets the ball.
And some people
that's how the fumble is settled?
It works, yeah.
So underneath that mass of humanity, it's just a guy with the biggest gun?
That's why you see the refs taking a lot of time to spread the guys.
Yeah, because they got to put their guns away.
Okay, Plexico Burgers has the biggest gun.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you're saying NFL guys, pretty much 100% of them have a gun when they're on the field.
NFL, lacrosse, MLB, everyone.
Really?
Very prevalent in sports.
I've read a lot of the guys, they keep in their thigh pads, those big thigh pads they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the tailbone pads.
But it seems like in football, you would get hit on the gun. Like, it would go off.
That's what you got the Thighmaster 2000 for.
Right, exactly.
But I've never seen a game where I've seen a gun go off underneath somebody's outfit.
Well, there's a seven-second delay.
There's a seven-second delay. They cover it up.
Yeah.
It's very... Look,
they just elevate the applause or something?
Yeah, and they cut to the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what mascots are
for. Have you ever been to a live game? Because you hear the gunshots of a live game.
I've been to live games, but I don't think I've heard a gunshot, but it's really loud.
That's what the cheerleaders are for. They tell them to like kick their legs up.
Yeah, they
up.
Do, yeah.
But I mean, I guess if someone's talking shit, this is more of a philosophy or more moral question. Do you really need a gun to get someone to shut up? Can't you just use your words?
Words are pointless. You know, they really don't get anything done. You know, action gets things done. You
know? I know, but doesn't it escalate? Like, if I pull a gun on you, you obviously, you have a gun now, I'm assuming.
I do, yeah.
Okay. Right. On your thigh somewhere?
On my thigh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I pulled a gun on you, you're going to escalate that situation and probably have a better gun.
Well, it depends on what type of gun you pull.
I have, like, a Lady Derringer, just a cute little thing that a lady would have in her boot. Right. A 22 shell.
Oh, really small.
Yeah, really small.
Oh, really cute gun.
But cute, like an ivory-handled, pearl-handled...
Well, see, now we're having a conversation about your choice of gun. Now the escalation is, you know, de-escalated.
So you would appreciate, you would actually notice that person's gun and that would deflate the situation.
Oh, yeah, I'm a gun aficionado.
So has that happened before where somebody pulls a gun and you're like, damn, let me see that.
One time when I was playing for the U.S. national team, Zinedine Zidane was about to come and headbutt me like he did that one dude.
Yeah, he's dirty that way.
Yeah. And I pulled out this really cute 9mm. Had a little a gold handle with a chrome finish,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, "What is that?" You know, he's French. Like, "What is that? What does this voter put
here?" He does talk like that.
Mm-hmm, he does.
I thought Zidane was in the room for
Zidane.
A second.
Oh, yeah. I do impressions too. that's my trade.
But that's a good idea. Like that's
side project I do.
That's why very few people in Texas get shot because when they pull a gun, someone else is like. Hold on a second. That's a really cute
that's
gun.
Nice.
That's an interesting gun. They started.
I mean, if you have a cute gun, that's the number one way to diffuse tension. It's cute.
So do you have a cute gun?
I like to have a different combination of guns.
Like a cute gun and a mean gun.
That have like a Magnum, you know, to overcompensate. You know, if a situation gets really intense.
Have you ever been in a situation in a locker room or lining up to go onto the field with an opposing team where it turned into a 60-gun Mexican standoff? Like if you're saying 100% of the athletes are packing heat, mm-hmm. if one guy pulls a gun, I got to believe like everyone's going to have a gun out.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think Mexicans don't like that term, Mexican standoff.
Okay, fair enough.
It could be anybody can have a standoff, not just Mexicans.
I guess I learned that from a Tarantino movie, but you're right. Right, okay, right. I won't use that language. Thank you.
In a human standoff, as I would call it.
Fair enough.
You know, anything can really happen, you know.
Yeah.
But as you can see, there's never been a report of two athletes killing each other. Ever.
Does it happen?
Yes, it does.
So why don't they report it?
Because the media is in cahoots with the sports organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in cahoots with the NRA. And
really?
They're in cahoots with the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is in cahoots with the American people.
Ginsburg's...
My mind is melting. Wow, my mind just got blown.
My mind's melting right now. Mm-hmm.
So how does that end peacefully, though? I'm trying to imagine 60 people with guns having a human standoff.
Usually someone within that standoff says, "Hey! My gun will kill everybody!" And then that's
the biggest gun guy?
The biggest gun. And usually they have a gun that has a barrel that's like 10 feet out or something like that.
Is that like a...
That's got to be a goalie or somebody who doesn't have to run.
Absolutely. Goalies have the biggest guns usually.
Yeah. One of
those big thigh pads?
Absolutely.
Or like NHL goalies could probably have like a bazooka.
Multiple. I mean, they could have all types of weapons in the NHL.
Wow.
I don't fuck around with NHL. People.
See, and I've read some blogs where they said like at hockey games, like between periods is when they just fight. They have like...
They fight with guns. They punch each other with their guns.
They punch each other with guns?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So did you...
Seems like ineffective.
So you did 4 years, 5 years professional soccer.
4 years with
2 years with the national team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you have chance to like, I don't know, I guess I want dirt. Like Michael Jordan. Were you ever in a locker room where you saw Jordan's gun? Or Derek Jeter? Or, I don't know, Dick Butkus? Like... I'm just curious, some of my heroes...
Dick Butkus used to carry a musket onto the field.
Like a musket? Like a 1700s?
1700s
pack the ball?
He'd pack it
a powder
up.
Horn?
Absolutely.
Really?
Dick Butkus is very old school. He used to say that he's the Teddy Roosevelt of sports.
So he kept it real that way.
Yeah, and I think George Halas, I heard, he just brought a stick. It just hit people with a stick.
Yeah. Really that was hard. The original gun.
Yeah.
The stick was the original gun?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
It evolved into the...
Well, how about guys like...
Into the slingshot. Mm-hmm.
Guys like today, like Steph Curry or LeBron, like any info on what kind of gun they're rolling with? Or
I definitely know Steph Curry himself likes to... He has this butterfly clip gun.
What is a butterfly clip? I don't know gun culture.
It's a clip that spreads out.
Okay.
Could fit more ammunition into it.
Wow. Really?
Mm-hmm.
So he's rocking 30 bullets or something a game?
For however many points he scores in a game,
he
has
that
many
shoot people from. I heard
he has a bullet for every point
for
he wants
point.
To score?
Mm-hmm. He adds it. Mm-hmm. And he can shoot, like you said.
From really far away.
From really far away.
Oh, so he's like a sniper.
He's like
in a gun battle.
Oh, yeah.
He'll take you out.
He will take you out. Yeah.
So that's interesting. Who's better marksman? Like of all the athletes you've traveled with and shared guns with, like who are the best marksmen in professional sports?
I mean, honestly, Brett Favre. Was
Brett Favre.
Such a good shooter.
And he's a great thrower, obviously. Great thrower. Oh, that's interesting.
Surprisingly, it correlates, you know.
Like Tom Brady?
Tom Brady's excellent.
Okay. But short... Death, like 8 yard death.
Yeah, he doesn't do any long
death.
Shots,
I like wear Wranglers because of Brett Favre.
You wear Wranglers because of Brett Favre. You're very corporate.
Yeah,
very comfortable.
I have a question about your logo and everything. Mm-hmm. Why is it called the Thighmaster 2000? It seems like an old number to pick.
I guess.
For the name.
And how long has the patent been pending?
Yeah, because it's like this seems like an old product.
It's been pending for 16 years.
Yeah.
Oh. So it's not moving as fast as you'd like.
It's not moving as fast as I like, but like I said, I have a lot of phone calls out to Suzanne Summers and her people. And
yeah.
So
you left her a voicemail like 16 years ago.
I
don't know if that's gonna.
I've also reached out to her on Twitter now. I sent her a Snapchat. Asking her, you know, if she could, you know,
and she's in
the process.
And no response.
No responses so far. But she's a busy celebrity.
Would you consider changing the name? Like just get the product out with a different name.
He seems like he's loyal.
I'm pretty set in with the name. Love it. Yeah.
2000. The other thing is like I think a patent, even if you did get say they said yes, I think it lasts 7 years, so it would have expired in 2007.
Well, I have multiple phone calls into her. So hopefully.
Yeah. You know she's not okay. She doesn't give out patents though. She's just
say what?
No, you got to go through the patent. You're not applying to her for the patent.
Yeah, I'm applying to Suzanne something.
No, she's not the patent office.
No, no. Oh, no. She works at the patent office now.
What?
Yeah.
Suzanne's from Three's Company?
Absolutely.
So yeah. She's head of patents?
She's head of the patents.
And you're applying for a property that she owns.
She owns, exactly.
Oh, my God. She's controlling it. Damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, man. Very good luck. Thank you. Claudius Hightower, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
That was awesome.
This is really insightful. I didn't know guns were that prevalent.
I'm going to get a pair of that. I was going to ask if Ruth Bader Ginsburg wears two bulletproof thighs. Was it Thighmasters?
It was the Bullet Thighmaster 2000.
Isn't there? Okay, because there is a Thighmaster.
Keep talking. I have to check on something.
Because there is a Thighmaster that exists, isn't there? There's a where you get your thighs in shape. I think.
Almost spilled my drink. Okay, how you guys doing?
Now do you understand?
Now who's a fan of UCB Sports and Leisure out there? You see, it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. You know, Scott, I've been doing some research on the various, you know, it's an interesting year because we could have our first female president.
We could.
And there's still a glass ceiling that exists in our culture where women don't make the same amount of money as men, mm-hmm. but do the same job. And so there's that sort of antique prejudice that's still holding in our society. And that applies to sports, too. I mean, obviously, women golfers are excellent, but they're not. Their prizes aren't as big as the men's. Same with the WNBA. The salaries of those ladies aren't as big. And I saw
soccer salaries are lower than the men's, and they have bigger ratings sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an interesting story, and it's not fair, and it's still holding. So this is a woman. She lives in Akron, Ohio, and I think you told me about this. Her name's Patty Pimple Pop. And she has started the first women's professional football league.
How do you pronounce that last name?
Patty Pimple Pop.
Pimple Pop.
And she started the women's professional football league. And the Akron team, guess what the name of the Akron team is called?
The Tigers?
The Akron Aprons.
Oh, that's a good idea. Because but is that tough?
I think it's ironic, like saying, like, oh, we're barefoot in the kitchen with an apron, but not like Rosie the Riveter kind of thing, is my guess. But
Rosie the Riveter sounds tough, though.
She is tough. Okay. All right, well, let's bring her out. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from the Akron Aprons, Patty Pimple Pop.
I'm Patty Pimple Pop, and I always hit the mark.
You always hit the mark. Is that your catchphrase?
Give me a mark, I'll hit it. All right. Happy to be here.
Take this pen.
Uh-huh.
And hit the B on that sign.
Easy. Eyes closed.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
You can't always hit the mark if everyone has their eyes closed. Okay, my eyes are closed.
She hit the mark. It holds true.
Exactly.
Can I open my eyes? Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming. Are you a fan of UCB Sports and Leisure? You ever heard of our show?
Never heard of it. Excited to be here.
It's a bummer. It's really bumming me out.
Excited to be here, though.
We got
to
get a PR rollout.
Yeah, we got to get a publicist for this show.
Yeah.
So, Patty, you are the general manager for the Akron Aprons.
That's right. That's right. Go Aprons. That's right.
Now, is it an ironic name or is it a tough
Absolutely.
Name?
We have that. We have all our players wear aprons, but they got a big hole in the middle of it. So it's like, it's just kind of, you know, it's like a vagina.
The apron has a vagina hole in the front. Is that what I'm saying?
Well, it's just got a hole, but it's sort of like a, it's like a little
tongue-in-cheek. Okay.
You know, like that.
Because if you want access to the vagina, you could just lift the apron.
Well, I mean, they're wearing padding and stuff.
Which is what I do.
Like football uniforms, you know.
Women need to listen.
Wear football uniforms too.
Yes, they can.
Yes, they can.
So, you must have played football throughout life?
Oh yeah, yeah. I played touch football mostly growing up, but everybody called me Sticky Fingers. I could always catch the ball even if it was going somewhere else.
So you have two catchphrases, sticky fingers and make your mark.
That's right.
You inspire poetry.
I mean, I really do. I don't know. People see me like Patty Pimple Pop. You're sticky fingers, you know, or Patty Pimple Pop. always be doing something. You know, like catchphrases just tend to follow me in my name. But yeah, you know, and so I could always catch the ball when I was I played a lot of neighborhood boys. I was afraid of it. And then I don't know. And then, you know, and my ex-husband, he's always said, "Patty, you got a hard head." And boy, do I. I'm stubborn, but I also do have a very thick, actually literally thick skull. So nothing can penetrate. Even ideas can't really penetrate.
So I haven't been back to Akron in a while, but are you still living in the Pimple Pop Palace in the trailer?
Oh, no, I had to move out.
Of the Pimple Pop Palace.
Yeah, the Pimple Pop Palace, yeah. But Ned's still there, and he's...
This is your ex-husband?
This is my ex-husband.
Okay.
We're still on good terms.
Okay.
He's got a above ground pool that he lets me swim in and when it gets
you can
hot.
Just, that's nice. You can use that whenever you want.
Yeah. Anyway,
let me ask you, what are the challenges of launching a fledgling professional sports league? I mean, I remember George Halas had to get out. You know, he started the Professional Football League for Men. And he was always like, P.T. Barnum, you have to go into towns and do stunts to get people excited about the game, just to get people to come in and pay for their tickets.
Absolutely.
It's an uphill battle for a new league. What are some
Absolutely.
Of the fun ways you get out there in Akron to get people excited about the team?
Well, the Akron Apron, you know, we're just one of many leagues that are being started up around the country, you know. So there is a movement that's happening, you know, and I'm hoping to be the general manager soon of the WNFL.
Okay.
But it's, you got to start somewhere, right? And we're starting in Ohio. We got the Akron Aprons.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Cleveland Seawards.
Oh, that's a good
Seawards. That's good.
Cleveland Seaward is good.
You got the Bedside Breasts.
Bedside Breasts?
Bedside
that's
breasts.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. You got the Danville Double Ds.
The Danville Double Ds. That's
right.
Fun.
Yeah. They're like fun sort of
like... kind of like roller derby names or
exactly,
something. Yeah.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And boy, do we get rough.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're not afraid to get rough. And you know what? Like you were speaking to before, the attendance at the women's events versus the male events. And actually, we've actually been able to accrue a huge following, not only in Akron but in Ohio in general. We got a lot of people coming to these games. And you know, I think eventually it's going to be more of a spectator sport than men's football.
Speaking of salute that. Thing, I have a daughter. I would love nothing more for her.
I have heard some complaints that you guys don't really play football. You just kind of like attack each other in random ways and hit each other. And
well, there's a ball somewhere.
That's true.
We're trying to get it to the field goal.
Yeah.
Right? The touchdown line.
Yeah, some people say you're just kind of like running at each other and jumping on each other and pulling each other's hair and hitting each other.
Well, yeah, that's all a part of it. That's all a part of it. Yeah, we didn't adopt the traditional football rules. You know, we were like, let's make up our own rules because we can make up our own rules, right? And so we sort of developed our own rules. Now, there's no such thing as holding. There's no such thing as offside.
I like that rule because everyone's holding anyway on every play.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? These guys are just admitting their holding's okay. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Anything goes, okay? We wear the helmets, we wear the padding, but there's really no rules. It's just sort of try to get the ball wherever you can and you know, if you're tackled but you get back up again, it's okay. You can keep going.
I would be confused. I wouldn't know when the play was over. You know, if I could get tackled and just get back up, that's the thing.
The play's over whenever someone says, "No more!" Then we reset wherever.
See, that's an innovation, Matt.
Yeah,
the no more
waves
instead
says
of the whistle.
No more.
The no more.
Yeah, we don't have refs. We don't fuck with that. They're all corrupt anyway.
So are there other ways you bring in money besides just ticket sales?
Ticket sales. We do a lot of like fundraising activities around Ohio. We do a lot of stuff with toddlers. Do a lot of toddler outreach programs.
It's like a babysitting nursery.
Yeah,
you're teaching
babysit.
Kids how to play football. Babysitting.
Teach kids and babysit them. We'll do whatever with them.
See, it's like you're fighting for like female equality, and it depends. But then you're like babysitting to make money on the side.
Ah, what? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who knows more about babies than people have had them inside them? I'm sorry if I'm able to grow a human. and therefore know what that little human needs. I'm sorry that, that men can't look at these little humans and are like, how do I deal with this human? I know, because it's grown in me. It's like growing a flower in your fucking stomach. So anyway.
But if I said that, I think you'd be offended, though. Like, if I was like, well, you should babysit because you've had a baby.
I wouldn't be offended. I have. I've had two babies, twin boys.
Yeah, how are those guys doing?
They're great. They're doing really well.
They're living with your ex still, using the above ground pool?
Yep. They're afraid of the water, though. So,
oh.
You know?
How old are they?
They are 4 and 5.
Twins? You went back a year later and still had a child inside of you?
Can you believe it?
I've never heard of that.
Yes, I can.
So they were literally, that child was inside you for 18 months, it sounds like.
Well, one was ready to go and the other one wasn't. I don't know the science of it. I just know that I went into labor, had one, and the doctor was like, the other one's not coming out. And I was like, well, leave him in.
And the doctor just sent you home. It was like, come back and try again in 9 more months?
Yeah.
And were you playing football during your pregnancy?
Hell yeah.
Full contact tackle football.
Yeah. There's room for everything. If you want to be, you know, a little more delicate and you want to take care of yourself and do baths and stay out of the sun and not sweat and that kind of thing, I get it. But you know what? There's another way to be a mother, too. And another way to be a mother is to just put your kid through trauma early on so that when they grow up, they're not afraid of anything. Mm-hmm. Now, my kids are afraid
except
of water,
yeah.
Which is odd because they're encapsulated in water.
Yeah, inside you.
Inside me. So that's a little weird.
Is it true that they...
Did you ever train them to swim, like, in a very, like... Did you just throw them in at the age of 3 and say, swim?
Throw them in.
Well, that's probably why they're afraid of water.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
I mean, without instruction, that's a big, you know, that's a big demand.
You wish.
I'm just guessing that...
That sounds traumatic.
Yeah, it sounds traumatic, right?
Yeah.
If your mother threw you in a pool at the age of 3 and said, swim?
You ever heard of exposure therapy?
No.
Well, it's when you're exposed to the thing you fear the most, okay? And I want my kids to grow up like not being afraid to take risks, to take chances, to follow their dreams.
I'm afraid of bees, so how would you like solve that for me?
Throw a bunch of bees at you.
Throw bees at me?
Take a bunch of bees and throw them at you. and then you get stung by a bunch of them, and then suddenly you're not afraid of them anymore. You're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. Sure, it hurts. Sure, it's, you know, I'm swelling up. But hey, that wasn't so bad. I survived it. Now when you go on the street, someone, a stranger you don't know, throws bees at you, you're not going to be afraid, right?
That would never happen.
If someone threw bees at me, I would...
Yeah, no one would ever have a handful of bees.
Someone got a handful of bees and throws them at you.
In New York City? I don't think that's ever happened.
Oh, are you kidding me? New York City. New York values.
That's why she doesn't have a franchise here.
I don't even know what that means.
I feel like if you threw bees at me, they would just fly away and be freaked out or sting you.
I don't know. I don't deal with bees. That was a hypothetical.
I'm scared of heights, Matt. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
They invented this glass slide in L.A. on the side of this
high town, the high rise.
Everyone went like
they did what?
People.
There's a thing where you can slide on the outside of a building. You're protected and supported, but it looks like you're
70 stories above the earth,
and you're sliding.
No.
Yeah.
How?
What do you mean how?
How do you make that?
It's attached to the side of us.
You just take a transparent material that's sturdy. Uh-huh.
Who's doing it though?
Welders. The people who own the building.
Who's putting it up?
The construction workers.
How?
With nails and glue.
Nails and glue? I'm not riding this thing.
It is going to hold. You don't believe it's possible to build a slide on a skyscraper?
I don't know. I've never done it.
Do you think we went to the moon? Do you believe that?
Conspiracy theory 101.
All right.
I don't believe in that either.
You don't think we went to the moon?
I really don't.
No, I was just going on the internet. There's some really fun promotional stuff I've seen you do in Acheron. You had...
Yeah.
You're pulling a train of children sitting on washer and dryers in a tug of war sort of scenario in a parking lot.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. So it's you and three other athletes pulling like 16 washer and dryers, each one of them with a child in them.
Yeah.
And you went across town to raise awareness for your league.
Oh my God, it was great. We got people out of their houses and into the streets and giving money. It was wonderful. And you know what? Women around Akron who have never considered playing a contact sport, women around Akron who may be, you know, suffering from some kind of disease that makes them not want to play a contact sport. They were coming out in the streets, and they were saying, you know what? I'm going to try out next year. And I said, you're welcome to. We only have 6 players. We'd love to have more.
You only have 6 women on the team?
And some of them are diseased? Quarterback, fullback, halfback.
2 halfbacks and no
defensive linemen.
Okay, got it.
So have you played the Cleveland Seas yet? Or C-words?
C-words, yeah. Oh yeah, we played. They played.
Was it 6 against 6?
It was 6 against 20.
Oh, they had 20?
Yeah, they got a full roster, but we're building it up in Akron. We're building it up.
Sounds like some of them were diseased. They came out of the disease. People came out of their houses. You gave them money.
Yeah, a bunch of diseased people came out of their houses.
That's what you said. It was like
it's true. And they gave us money. They said, we want to play. And I said, you know what? All are welcome.
What is your goal? I guess I would ask you, what is your goal with this league? Like, is it to have little girls consider the possibility of a career in professional football?
Yeah. I mean, I think my goal with this league is to show you that you can do anything you want. Gender is not a prohibitive quality.
Mm-hmm.
If
I agree.
You can play any sport you want, man, woman, child, baby.
See, babies can't play sports.
Older person.
That's where I would stop her.
I agree with that.
You play anything you want. You can be anything you want. God damn it, this is America.
But there are these things that hold over in our minds and we don't even know they exist. They're sort of unconscious associations.
Absolutely, sure.
Let me give you a little trick question here, okay?
All right.
Pimple Pop, you ready?
What is that name?
Don't ever call
Pimple
me
Pop.
By
is that like a Irish?
I don't know what that. I think it started as a. It's like a Dutch nickname.
A Dutch nickname.
That then when the ancestors came over to the
Ellis Island.
Ellis Island. They saw that name. They're like, that's a nickname that we're going to keep and assign it to you as your last name. So
that happens at Ellis Island. They come in, they're like...
So some guy just gave you a Dutch nickname who worked at Ellis Island.
Yeah, some guy just gave me a Dutch nickname. Or gave my grandma a Dutch nickname, and I got it. I've been having it ever since.
All right.
But I get it. Look, here's the thing. My mind is so open that I don't have any stereotype. Like, I don't go to any stereotypes.
This is what I've been learning, though.
Yeah.
We do. Like, you can legislate change, but there's cultural things that are still remnant in our brains. So
yeah,
here's a riddle.
You wish.
Here's a riddle, Pimple Pop.
I love riddles.
Okay. A father, and don't help her out here.
Okay.
Father and son are driving. They get in a car crash. The father dies.
Mm-hmm.
The boy is rushed to the hospital.
Yep.
In the emergency room, the doctor comes in and says, I can't operate on this boy. He's my son. How is that possible?
Is a kid afraid of water?
Is a kid afraid of water? Sure, if that helps. I don't think it's relevant, but if you want that to happen, yeah.
The doctor says he can't operate on the kid because he's...
It's his son.
He's got to go to the bathroom. What is it?
I didn't say, but you might have concussion syndrome. I said...
Yeah, you played a lot of sports.
I got a thick skull.
You got a thick skull. No, the doctor said, I can't operate because this child is my son. How is that possible?
He means like son of God. This kid's a
son of
God.
So the surgeon is Jesus or God?
Well, all doctors think they're God, am I right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's true.
No, that's not the answer.
It's
a human being. It's not a deity.
Well, I think you should give it to her. What is that?
The surgeon is a woman. It's his mother.
I know.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I know. I know.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I said
no,
that.
You didn't. You didn't say it. I gave you the answer.
I said that.
I gave you the answer, okay. Pimple Pop.
Okay. You have to use my last name. Isn't I know what it sounds like.
What?
I get it. popping a pimple. I get it.
It's literally what it is. Pimple.
Yeah, I mean, of course it sounds like
sound
that.
I like it.
Those are the two words in your last name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew the answer to that one. So
it's interesting, though, that that stuff even holds into your brain, and you're a very liberated person.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You got
about.
It wrong. You didn't know the answer to the riddle.
Okay.
I feel like you're afraid. I feel like you can't admit if you're wrong about anything. She's very, like, she's like...
I didn't mean to make her defensive,
I know,
Scott.
But she's very...
I'm not defensive. Like, I'm not defensive.
This is part of the stuff that we got to work on as hosts, is making people...
We got to make the show better in general,
yeah.
I think.
I'm having
All right, give it up for Mary Pimple Pop, everybody.
Bye, Pimple Pop.
Thanks for coming, Mary.
Well, Scott, this has been another... Even though you were late, it got better when you showed up.
It really did.
Right?
It
didn't it get better year. When Scott was here? Yeah. They're big fans of yours
second.
Now. They're big fans of yours now. You can check out UCB Sports and Leisure on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. You can tweet us at what is it?
At UCBSL.
At UCBSL. And please
We're
check us out.
We're working on a Facebook page.
We're working on a Facebook page. And thank you so much for coming tonight. Have a great day.
All right, thanks, guys. Enjoy the festival.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.